Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Fitz and Wick.
Oh, man, I hate those guys. More than I hate spinach, traffic jams, and the last few years of MASH.
On WEEI Afternoons.
So we're giving legs to the whole Fitz and Wick thing, huh? See if we can keep that around for a little while.
A little salty in that remark. A little salty. Not funny.
I had fun with it. I actually retweeted a clip from the McAfee show and just said, Wit here, and I agree with Herb Street, because he said the Patriots are going to win 13 or 14 games and be the number one seed.
I mean, you sound like you're having a ton of fun. Your tone of voice is just like, enthralled by this.
I just thought my 15 minutes of fame would include my name.
Yeah, you were. That was the hope, right?
Mine doesn't even involve my real name, but a broadcast handle.
Man, you know what's funny? Cool. You hear the guy, they cut it off. The guy wanted to correct him. And they did.
Yeah.
He wanted to say, no, that's the podcast. And he didn't quite get it out. So right. He never really got it correct.
And McAfee was like, no one cares. Let's move on to the important stuff.
Boston Connor's got our back. Yep. But then McAfee just
got your back.
Us. All right. Well,
I don't know if he has mine. But
no, he's friends at the station. He's friends with Arcan, too. He's got our back.
He's a good dude.
Oh, I actually heard he and Arcan went to high school together.
Yeah.
Or the same high school.
School of Hard Knocks?
No. The pampered school of kids that go to nice schools. All right. It is. It's Friday. It's 4 o'clock. We do football o'clock a lot at this time. And we have a game that I think is going to test Ted Johnson, because we ask him to build up every Sunday. And based on the tone of Mike Giardi making this sound like it was preseason game 4, we're going to ask Ted to build up this Patriots-Cincy game. So let's go, Ted.
Well, I'm going to do the best I can, although it won't be easy. But we have some guys coming back off of injury, which is a good thing for the Patriots. Kayshawn Booty. Kayshawn Booty before he got injured, he was averaging 18.7 yards per. I was supposed to throw the sound. Don't worry about it, Stizzle. We'll go on to the next one. 18.7 per. So he was the deep threat. 23 catches off 31 targets. He is back. So that'll be a nice little jolt for the offense, and another jolt for the offense.
May's longest run, 28 yards. He's throwing for the...
For Saturday center, here we go. Stevenson on the take. Stevenson is in for the touchdown.
So Ramondre Stevenson was reported as limited, but
yes.
I think he's coming back
in
this game. So that'll be good. Travion Henderson should not get, like he did last week, 90% of the carries. Although I thought he was probably his best game because he did a great job in blitz pickup. I just don't like him getting that lion's share of the load. So I think Ramondre Stevenson coming back is a good thing.
How do you view the usage? How do you view the two of them? Is it early downs is Stevenson? He's the starter, first and second downs, the kind of the classic third down change of pace?
I think you know what? So instead of just exclusively using him in third down change of pace, which I would, now that I think he's gotten a lot better in blitz pickup, I would just, rotate him every third series as the number one back. Just to get him, I think he's a guy that, 15 to 18 touches a game is good. Maybe use him in the red zone.
Yep.
For a little wheel route that I'm still waiting on.
two and one.
Yeah.
See what you're going.
Yeah.
So we've brought up the comparison to Detroit and Montgomery and the way they use Jahmyr Gibbs. And correct me if I'm wrong, the games I've seen, they sometimes do like series. This is Gibbs's series. So if you're on the first and 10 on the 20, it's still Gibbs. He's not a third down back. Could you see something like that where maybe two series for Stevenson,
That's what I'm saying. Every third series, you put Travion in there. So,
I like it.
Not every fourth series, but every maybe every other series or every third series, so that he's still kind of in the flow of the game, so that if you need him at the end of the game, he's, you know, he's been out there for a time. So I think that is going to be kind of a key guy. And I, you know what, I'd start him. Just, you know, you don't lose your job. You know, you get right back in there and start. That, to me, would be the best way to handle him.
And you see a nose tackle on the field right now in Kyrus Tonga on third down.
He will go in motion and be a lead blocker.
Sure is. And they get the first down with Tonga leading the way.
They just added this week where Tonga goes in motion, becomes the lead guy.
Okay, so obviously with Milton Williams out, that's him as a fullback. We need him to really play good as a defensive tackle because Milton Williams is out. Right now, Tonga has played about 40% of the snaps. And then also Corey Durden, number 94, you'll see he's played 28% of the snaps. Those guys are going to be asked to play more and be more impactful to pick up some of that slack for Milton Williams. The defensive front has not been the best at rushing the passer. They're 16th in pass rush, 21st in sack percentage, 20th in pressure rate, and 24th in pass rate rush win rate. So, you know, they're going to miss him in the pass rush game.
So Tonga, and I know they asked Vrabel this. We had the clip there. He's been playing fullback on offense. If he has an increased role on defense, do you limit his reps on offense? And they asked Vrabel on the Greg Hill Show on Monday, and he basically he said, "You're trying to win football games. You're trying to put people out there that are in the best to fill the role." And it made me think, like back in your day with him and you and Vrabel, like. You guys played what you had to play. I remember there was times special teams, like, felt like special teams was half the starting roster was out on special team, right? So I don't see Mike Vrabel as a guy who would say, oh, Tonga's playing a few more on defense. We can't put him at fullback. I would expect to still see him at fullback, right?
Don't worry. They're in, and you're going to see, I think they're going to eventually kind of change up a little bit because they've been a little bit predictable in how they've used him on offense.
Yeah.
So. When you bring him in the game, actually maybe throw a play action pass.
Let's go.
That would be the highlight of the day. In absence of Joe Burrow probably not playing now, that would make every Pats fan's day to see Tonga catch a wheel route.
Third and nine. Zappi steps up, flings to the end zone. Touchdown, Mike Gesicki.
Oh, you
Bailey wonder. Zappi.
That's good there. See, oh, Zappi. Very Zappi. That's an old highlight of Mike Gesicki when he was here. I was a big fan of his at Miami before he came here. Didn't do great here, but he's kind of had a little bit of a resurgence there in Cincinnati. He's been on IR for the last four games. He's coming back this week. And, you know, between him and Noah Fant, all right, Fant, the tight end from Iowa, Noah Fant is the third leading receiver for that team. Mm. Gesicki coming back, I think he's kind of a dynamic tight end, regardless of what you guys might think. I think he's a good tight end. And the tight ends have given this defense issues so far this year. So that's a matchup to watch, just our linebackers against their tight ends. So that's something to watch. Mike doesn't get you guys too worried?
No, I'm not a big fan. I know he was very popular when he came to New England. A lot of people were like you. Oh, this guy was good in Miami. He's going to do this. I actually bet somebody. They bet me he would have 12 touchdowns, and I made that bet. And
Who placed
Kevin
that
Stone,
bet with you?
New England Sports.
That's right.
Journal. I mean, New England Football Journal. I think he may have came about 10 touchdowns shy of winning that bet.
But remember that one he got against Buffalo and did the gritty afterwards. What a time to be alive!
Oh yeah, he loves that gritty, man.
Yeah, so
he's
is
all
this
about the gritty.
Spillane? Is this?
Yeah, Spillane is going to be the main guy, and Tavai will be on there.
Tavai Gibbons. Out. Tavai not playing.
Oh.
Tavai out for personal reasons, Mike announced at his press conference.
Oh, I didn't realize
afternoon.
That.
Yes.
Gibbons?
How do we feel about that, those matchups?
Not great. Not great. I would give the edge to them in that situation. And let me just get the defensive stats of the Bengals out of the way.
Okay.
All right? In the Super Bowl era, no defense like the Bengals' defense has finished dead last in most passing yards, most rushing yards, and most points allowed in a single season. They are dead last in two of the three categories and second to worst in points allowed. All right, they're number one in points allowed. I think they're second to last in rushing yards allowed, but they are number one in passing yards allowed. So historically a bad defense. They also, through the first 10 games, have the worst defensive DVOA in the history of football. That's going back a ways.
A little bit, yeah.
History of football?
They have not They have had their bye week, and yet they are still leading the NFL by far in missed tackles with 123. The next closest team has 90. So that gives you a little bit of perspective on that. Yep, so they are 32nd in points per, 30th in red zone, 31st in third down defense, 31st in sacks, 32nd in yards, and 32nd in touchdowns allowed. So pretty much the bottom of the barrel in every significant statistical category, except they intercept the ball. Eight interceptions ranks them 11th. But other than that, this is one of the worst defenses you will ever see on Sunday.
And that should be great for the Patriots offense and those of us that are thinking about betting the over. Professor Johnson, going back a couple things. As far as Milton Williams being out, seeing more Tonga, maybe more Corey Durden along the line, who do you think, though, is the easier one to get after? Because, you know, Joe Burrow moves well, but he's not the fastest quarterback, but he's obviously, it looks like he's not going to play. Flacco's in his early 40s. Like, I would think that if there's any quarterback that could make the Patriots' depleted pass rush look good, it might be Flacco.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, Flacco throws a beautiful ball, man. I mean, yeah. You know, and when he's feeling it, you know, I don't know, maybe with Jamar out there, I don't know how that impacts his game. I think one of the, he's a statue. If I was playing against the Bengals and Belichick was my coach, he'd have me blitz in the A gap, you know, half a dozen times, because you want to get him off the spot. So maybe they try that a little bit. They are. It feels like the Patriots have had an uptick in their blitzing because they're not getting pressure with four guys, so they're trying to manufacture pressure, and you can do that against some of the lower subpar, you know, quarterbacks. But Flacco will eat you apart if you have to blitz to get pressure on him, and so that's a big concern of mine, is just this pass rush, you know, late in the season into the playoffs. It's just not, I don't think, championship medal yet.
617-779-7937. Let's mix in some of your thoughts for the build up to this game between a fun young Patriots offense and arguably the worst defense in the history of football, according to Ted Johnson. So if the Patriots have a big rushing day, they could help the Bengals get to the bottom of rush defense and then just fill out that triple crown, right?
That's correct.
Worst defense in history. So let's go, Travion. Yeah. Let's go, Ramondre.
You know what? There is one, and you guys were talking about him earlier. There is one kind of bright spot for this team, and that is Chase Brown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's their second in EPA per rush in the NFL. So he's averaging over 4 yards per 4.1 per rush. So the Patriots' run defense the last couple games, so that is one concern. The tight ends and the rushing game for the Bengals are probably, and then I'd say any kind of matchup inside the 10, T. Higgins, if they get him one-on-one on Marcus Jones.
Yep.
That is, he has the clear height advantage on Marcus, and we saw what happened against the Falcons with Drake London against Marcus.
Yeah, we brought that up earlier, that if I'm the Bengals, that is, if I get in the red zone, I'm trying to do what the Falcons did and pick on Marcus. I love Marcus Jones, but that's a bad matchup.
The Patriots are dead last, they're 31st now in red zone defense. They need to get better at their red zone defense. You can't have the worst goal-to-goal defense and one of the worst red zone defenses and call yourself a championship-type defense.
All right, let's go to Joe and Lynn. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to comment when you were talking about the second most valuable player, and I have to take the opportunity to give Andy a little grief.
Uh-oh.
For the guy who was in such a panic about the offensive line,
yep.
Will Campbell looks great. Not great, but very good. And I would say that the offensive line is the second most important of this run next to Drake May.
All right, thanks for the call, Joe. I don't know that I disagree. Because they allowed Drake May to do his job, to do the things that you're falling in love with, right?
And you thought that the season, the start of it, it was
in August, I was worried.
They were going to be worse than last year.
I got to tell you, where are we? They're 9-2? No, I meant on the schedule. Morgan Moses, knock knock on wood, shows no signs of looking like a aging guy who may not make it through the season or bad knee or bad.
No, he's
back.
Talking a lot. He looks he actually looks fresh as lettuce.
Yeah, I think it's 5 for 5. Oh no, you know what? The weird part is, I think the only guy that So I think four of the five guys have been better than I expected. And the one guy who hasn't been is Mike Onwenu, the highest paid returning starter guy. I think he's been up and down for his paycheck.
Oh, and you know who Morgan Moses was going off about, waxing ecstatic? Garrett Bradbury.
Oh, he's been...
Everyone on the line says, like, the linchpin, like, the MVP, the sixth man, if you will, of the line is Garrett Bradbury.
So they've been pretty good at pass protection. They just not good enough against a run. And you would think an offensive line that has two young guys, they'd have more issues in pass protection. No, it's the opposite. They're struggling more. This offensive line does struggle to get holes for these running backs.
But I agree. I think the offensive line has been a key factor in their success, better than I expected. I like to throw Doug Marrone in there because I think he's doing it. You got to praise the position coach. We certainly have ripped the predecessors over the years, for the last 4 or 5
Very
years.
Very important position on a staff is the offensive line coach.
Even though Jeremy Springer thinks he's the slowest coach on the staff, yeah. I don't care about that.
He actually said he was the fastest and Doug Marrone was the slowest?
Yep. That was his assertion.
Yeah.
And he actually said only because Doug's a little older and I think he's slowing down in his old age.
That's fair.
But I mean, he's a big dude, too.
Doug's a big man. Yeah, no doubt.
Let's go back to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Let's go to David in the car. What's up, David?
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Great, as always, great show. Love you guys. I'm a little concerned, and I'll tell you why. What's his name, the tight end there for the band?
Fant,
guess they don't want him winning because he didn't have the right coaching. But the thing, what I'm concerned is, we saw what happened yesterday with the Bills. Who would have said that the Bills were going to lose to Houston with a backup quarterback? No, nobody called that game. Nobody called that Josh Allen getting sacked 8 times. And that's the thing. Sometimes, you know, games like this, it concerns you because, you know, a team like that, they can turn it on.
All right, thanks for the call, David. Ted, who would have predicted that Houston would beat Buffalo on Thursday Night Football? Who?
I did. I predicted that. I got 4 points in my fantasy league. So, I picked the Texans over. I just, you know, that defense, Josh Allen is reverting back to old Josh Allen. And he just is. So, that defense might be better than the Broncos defense. I think so. And it's a tough place to play in Houston. Josh Allen has a bad record in Houston, so it's not so surprising that he, you know, had the game he had last night.
If that defense, and I know we'll talk about this a little bit more, but if that defense keeps playing like that, not only does Houston become either probably not an AFC South contender, but a wild card contender, and who the hell wants to play that in January?
But look, they're 2 games behind the Colts, you know, the Jags. I don't know, man. I don't know. The AFC is going to be interesting because, I mean, you know, look, what's C.J. Stroud? Do you know when he's coming back? I mean, they're not going to go. David Mills isn't going to carry them to the playoffs.
Davis is 3-0, though, when it starts. It's wild. Yeah, 3-0.
And a lot of people are starting to say that he's going to get paid by somebody, that people are going to look at what he's doing, and he could end up on one of these Jets or one of these teams.
And Mac Jones are going to be the two.
Yes.
And it's crazy because those were the two quarterbacks in 2021, which is what makes time travel possible.
Absolutely. But, yes, Ted Johnson. And this, he told me this off air. This is real. Ted Johnson picked the Texans to beat the Bills, who aren't really playing great football. You know, Josh Allen actually started poorly last week against Tampa Bay. A couple turnovers and then he went on the crazy run and scored 6 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. But if you take those 6 touchdowns, like this stretch, the game he played at Atlanta was not a good game. The bad Josh Allen has been kind of bubbling to the surface a lot this year.
It has. He's just the turnovers have spiked. The sacks. He just doesn't look comfortable back there, running around like a chicken with his head cut off. That's, you know what? Look, Josh can make great plays, but he doesn't look comfortable at all right now. And that just, if you're a Buffalo Bills fan, that's got to have you worried.
And if you're a Buffalo Bills fan, I think that would have you saying, hey, isn't Brian Daboll out there? And couldn't we hire him as a consultant to come help Josh look more like the Josh he helped create, the good Josh, the MVP Josh. And I know Sean McDermott has shot it down when he's been asked about it, but Brian Daboll's available.
Can you imagine? Just think about this. Can you imagine for 1 second that maybe Mahomes, Burrow, Jackson, and Allen all end up not making the playoffs?
It's crazy.
Is that insane?
It is insane. I'm not sure the NFL loves it. I know they like parody and like, oh, this team made it that didn't make it last year. I'm not sure they want all their star quarterbacks watching in
But
January.
What about there's rising stars? Yeah. Bo Nix, you know, Drake May.
Yep.
You know, hey, Daniel Jones was a first rounder back in the day.
Maybe Trevor Lawrence.
Overall pick for the Giants.
Trevor Lawrence, first overall pick, could be making it in for a second time.
Maybe, you know, there's some young up and comers, maybe. So you could frame it that way, too.
You can definitely, and they will. I mean, they'll have graphics and posters, I'm sure, and people will be like, eh.
Justin Herbert, guaranteed wild card weekend out.
I'd still rather see Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes or some of the things we know has been good in the past. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Ed in Maine. What's up, Ed?
Not much, fellas. Great show. All I can say is that if Burrow plays and the Pats win the toss, they should just take the ball and try to, you know, they're not great at that first playing defense, and you don't want the crowd getting into it. Take the crowd out of it. They're going to think their savior's back in town, and just get rid of that thought and put seven on the board real quick and worry about the second half and the second half.
Thanks for the call, Ed.
You know what's interesting, though? Didn't the Patriots win the coin toss and didn't defer? They kept it and, like, fumbled on the first series or something bad happened. I feel like – I don't know why. I just don't ever feel comfortable starting with our – if we win the toss, I would rather defer. Every time.
Just
you
get that
double score. You get that double score, you know, before half.
Yeah.
That I think is so important sometimes.
And they've played well out of the half. Their third quarters have been good. So you give them that possession to start the second half. But I get what he's asking. If you're so worried about being down seven, forget the Burrow part, because it sounds like Burrow's not going to play. But just in general, if you're worried about being down, does that crawl into your mind that we always give up a touchdown on the first series? Should we take the ball so at worst it's 7-7?
It's kind of like a nod to the other team that you don't think they're very good on offense.
Yeah.
And I always think that's a, you know, you know, I don't know. And Flacco, if he's starting, which we think he will, right? If
yes.
Joe isn't.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, you guys don't, okay.
Yeah.
You guys don't, all right, watch this. Hold
my beer. It's also something that's easy to second guess once it plays out and you got the two drives and you're like, oh, you took the ball and punted and you went three and out. Nice job, hot shot. Now they get the ball to start. Now they're doing the double score thing and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Things are spiraling out of control. All right, join the conversation, 617-779-7937. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons. We just touched on it, but we saw it last night. That Houston defense looks like they might be kind of special. We know that people are talking about the Broncos defense being special. So as much as we worry about quarterback matchups and offensive matchups in the postseason, should we start to worry about the Broncos defense and more specifically that Texans defense? If they're a low seed coming to Gillette Stadium, your first playoff game, do you want to see Will Anderson in that group that just sacked Josh Allen 8 times? Should we be fearing the defenses across the AFC? That's next here on
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI. That was the guy who used to be the measuring stick for quarterback play in the AFC East, Josh Allen. He's been replaced by Drake May. Last night, Josh Allen.
Yep, I believe that is to be the truth, Andy. Preach it, buddy.
Against that Texans defense last night, the Bills suffered 8 sacks, 12 quarterback hits, 11 tackles for a loss, two interceptions, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery.
Whew.
Wow. That's a tough night at the office right there for Josh Allen and company. And if you watch the game, there was one hit in particular. I think Bills fans thought, oh, my God, we just lost our quarterback. He got hit by Will Anderson from behind, kind of did the tomahawk, tackled him. I think his wrist rolled as the body weight, whatever, and he was kicking his feet on the ground like he was seriously injured. Trainers came out. It ended up being nothing. He returned to the game. But I more want to talk about that Texans defense, Ted. And everybody's been talking about Denver for a while now because they sit atop the standings. They've been in the picture, and it's like, oh, wow, their defense is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Their pass rush is on a historic rate, things that they're doing. Do we need to include the Texans in this conversation, that a defense that can flat out win games, maybe win games in January to advance? Is that what kind of defense this is?
Yeah, but, I mean, they just, you know, they, you know, unless, when's C.J. Stroud coming back?
This week.
Okay, so
apparently on the broadcast last night, I'll believe a texter, they said had last night's game been on Sunday, there would have been a chance he could have played.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, it does. I come from an era which, you know, defense. Look, we played in Super Bowls where, you know, we were a highly rated defense against a highly rated offense, right? And I feel like more times than not, I'd have to look it up, but I feel like defenses win out in big games in the playoffs. Like it's. If you got the number one defense versus the number one offense, which unit would you bet on? I would bet on the defense in a lot of those cases. You know, the Broncos do scare me because of how good their defense is. And Bo Nix, by the way, Bo Nix, I think he has three 300-yard games this year, which is crazy.
And Drake May
Drake has zero.
Shadow.
Hasn't needed him.
But so I'm terrified of elite defenses. And so Texas has one. The Texans have one. So, yeah, they would that would be worrisome to me. I would be very, very worried because, you know, and they're the type of defense that they don't have to blitz to get pressure on you. They got two stellar, you know, rush edge guys, Will Anderson and Daniel Hunter, who are beasts. So, and they have an excellent ball hawking secondary. So, yes, that would worry me, an elite defense. You saw what a pretty good defense and what the Browns were able to do, six sacks against you. And so that definitely concerns me, yes.
Yeah, Daniil Hunter looks like he's just like he looks like he works out where Myles Garrett does, like just like an absolutely insane human being. And here's a scenario that doesn't give you tons of comfort. You know, we're looking far down the road here, but let's say things hold to form. Denver, by some sort of ever so slight metric or percentage, gets the one seed, but they and the Patriots have the same record. So then the Patriots will get the two. If the Texans sneak in the seventh, next thing you know, it's wild card weekend on a cold Saturday night. Drake May gets tested in 31-degree weather or 27 degrees, and here comes Daniil Hunter and Will Anderson, Pollock, Stingley, all night long. Like, that's a tough first opening
match. It's cold for them, too, that, you know, and that's a dome team.
Yep.
So I kind of like my chances there. But yeah, I get nervous by, you know, I mean, there's the two elite defenses are both in the AFC.
Yep.
And so
100%.
Yeah, that makes me a little bit worried. I do think, look, I mean, we've talked about this. The Denver Broncos won the Super Bowl with a dominating defense and a subpar to average to below average quarterback play. No offense, Peyton. But you're the wheels that come off at that point in his career.
You mean 13 for 23 for 140 yards and a pick wasn't elite?
That is not elite, Peyton. I think elite defenses can carry teams Pravar. I do.
And we saw the Tom Brady offense end in Denver that year where, if you remember the next year, Dante Scarnecchia came back. And
that was 2015?
Yes. And Scar came back the following year, and he's like, what did you see in that? Because he wasn't coaching that year. Well, I saw a historic defense that probably wasn't going to be stopped against the Patriots offense that he wasn't a part of. And as much as we like this offensive line, we like what we've seen. But you said they played Cleveland, and how many sacks was it?
Six.
Okay. And Cleveland had Myles Garrett. I think this defense has a better duo, tandem. It's like both ends.
Without
like which
question.
Pick your poison kind of situation.
Yep.
And that's and Fitzy, you mentioned it. They are currently the 8 seed. They are 6-5, so they're currently the last team out, but they're ahead of game, so we'll see what happens with Jacksonville. Things play out this weekend. That this is going to sound crazy, and you guys yell at me when I say crazy things. I think I'd rather have Kansas City come to Gillette Stadium than I would Houston.
That's not
like Patrick Mahomes I'll deal with. I don't know if I can deal with Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter and that defense.
Yeah, that defense is really good. It's really, really, really good. And as much as we have been praising Will Campbell and Morgan Moses, you know, tough night with these two guys. Yes, cold, snowy, whatever it is. Like, that kind of ferocity travels. I just think that'd be a tough opening matchup.
It's hard, you know. it's hard to disagree. I almost, you know, like Peyton, or excuse me, Patrick is kind of, you know, look, struggled. What, they're 0-5 in one score games.
Yep.
You know, they look tired. You know, they've played a lot more games,
yep,
you know, than most teams. They've played like 19 playoff games in the last 6 years.
Full season.
So I know it's kind of year to year. It's okay. Well, what is the year before after? I don't know. I just think they're better players. They remember those hits in all those games. Those, you know, the body remembers it. So I think it can be a factor that there is a little bit of fatigue with the Chiefs.
Let's work in the phone lines here. 617-779-7937. Let's go to our buddy Paul in Providence. What's up, Paul?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I just want to talk about like the expectations for the Patriots this year. And, obviously we've exceeded them so far, but, is it a disappointment? Like if they do anything less than like win a playoff game, or I mean like the expectations were kind of low, but now they're kind of high because we see what we have. Like I'm conflicted as a Patriots fan. I still want to know what you think.
All right. Thanks for the call, Paul.
Good question.
What exactly is the question? Like, is this all gravy from here?
Well, that's what he's asking. Or if they get throttled in the first round when they're the 2 seed to a Houston Texans team that comes up here and beats you, will you be disappointed?
Yes. Extremely.
So you went from, like, hey, if they win 8, that's great because they doubled their win total from last year or both years combined to now it's, well, at least divisional round or bust. So is that like, do you need at least a playoff win to be satisfied?
I do not. I just need a good performance.
You know what? Just don't poop the bed.
Right.
In your first play. You know, it's part of it is going to be stylistically. I will judge how they played in that wild card round. If that's if they're the 2 seed or worse, you know, but my expectation is division round. It is like right now. I expect them to be a division round playing team. They should be one of the 8 teams playing in that second weekend, well, I think.
Yeah. And right now you can even say, I mean, with schedule and everything that's going to transpire, the 1 seed is very realistic. The 1 seed, just skipping right to the divisional round. Forget wild card weekend. Let everybody else beat each other up. You go rest for a week and sit at Gillette Stadium, wait for somebody to come to town is very realistic. But again, 2021, you can't have that performance when you fell on your face against the Buffalo Bills and lost by whatever, 30.
That will leave a bad taste in your mouth.
Because it stays the whole year.
That's the worst case scenario.
Yeah, because that stays until the following January. Like, you can do great things during the regular season next year coming off that, but people are still going to say, yeah, but what are you going to do? Are you going to fall on your face again in January like you did last year, Drake, or whatever? So that lasts a year if you fall on your face.
Mm-hmm. All right, so if we're going to look at the Broncos and the Patriots, humor me this real quick. Broncos' remaining schedule, they have bye this week, obviously. They return to action Thanksgiving weekend, that Sunday, 8:20 game in Washington against the Commanders. That's a win. Then they play on the road at the Raiders. That's probably a win. Host the Packers. Could go either way.
Sure.
Jags at a Mile High. Probably Broncos. Broncos at the Chefs on Christmas night. And then we wrap it up January 4th with Chargers at Broncos.
Yeah, I think that's a tough schedule.
I think the Patriots are going to finish with a better record than the Broncos.
It's a tough schedule.
14-3 versus 13-4, maybe?
Something like that. Yeah, I think the Patriots are going to be the 1 seed. I do. I think they're going to, you know, barring something unforeseen, I think the Patriots are going to be the 1 seed, which means they fulfill your criteria. They're playing on divisional round weekend, and then hopefully they don't get smoked and embarrassed or anything like that. 617-779-7937 if you want to join the conversation. I also need you to buckle up and buckle in. We got something a little new. Brian Furzocco, you've heard him. You've seen him a little bit. Now you're going to get a full segment of Brian Furzocco. Furzocco talking NBA, talking Celtics. He might bring up NBA League Pass. He watches till like 3 a.m. every night. Brian Furzocco's big shot here on WEEI Afternoons. That's next.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, WEEI Afternoons, on a Patriots Friday, but we need to deviate a little bit from the Patriots talk for a little Celtics, a little basketball, a little NBA chatter here. It's a Frizoco Friday. You know Brian Frizoco.
What's going on, boys?
He's our guy from Twitch chat.
Hey.
Part of the failed pick six parlay as well.
I had a rough start to the year.
I have a rough week every week. We'll get to that later. But Brian Frizoco is a, I believe Scal would call him a hoop head. He is an NBA guy. He watches games at all hours, all games, all teams.
Every email we get from Brian is the Celtics. Like, it's, they're not even playing.
No.
And it's, we're getting a Celtics, you know.
Oh, so much Wembenyama.
Yeah. And then he's like,
but don't ever change. I love it.
Do you see what Shams said about the fourth point guard on the Blazers? No, I didn't. And I don't give a rat's ass about the fourth point guard
on
the Blazers.
You keep telling us. You keep emailing us,
buddy. Okay.
Right?
So we thought we would bring your immense knowledge, statistics, and your viewpoints to the big stage. So, what are we talking? I believe we're talking about the Celtics and their three-point shooting, because I know Ted Johnson is a proponent of maybe lowering that number and not making it their focal point of the offense.
I think we have a disagreement in how in philosophy on that, right, Brian?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, Ted, I sit back there every day. I'm one of the behind-the-glass brethren, I think we, Mistas and Dan, refer to it as. And a lot of times I can't chime in and, you know, push back on some of your three-point stances. Much of them are, you know, I agree with, but certain basketball ones I do sort of, you know, bash my head against the wall listening to.
And let's hear it, bud.
One of them is the three-point shooting. Yep. And over past seasons, I've totally been with you. I think it lowered the Celtics, who, especially over the last 2 years when they had Jrue Holiday and Porzingis and the rest of those guys, like, they were head and shoulders, I think, the most talented team in basketball. I think it wasn't really close, them and the number two team. And I thought it sort of evened the playing field. When they lost to Miami a couple seasons ago, I thought a big part of that was because they sort of evened the playing field and turned it into a make-miss league, as Doc Rivers liked to call it.
Oh, yeah.
I thought certainly last year with the New York Knicks, much more talented team. The Celtics were a much more talented team than New York was last year. And it became a series that they ended up losing, in part because Jason Tatum got hurt. But I thought big reason you got to be down 2-1 and then eventually 3-1 when Tatum got hurt was because you sort of shot yourself out of that series.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This team is not that talented. This team is not as talented as they have been the last few years. And I think overall, if you just look at the talent on this team, they're not a super talented team. They have a couple good players. Your guy, Jaylen Brown, I think is going to be an all-NBA player when the season's over. I think if you're the best player on a top six team and averaging around 30 points, you're sort of a shoe-in for an all-NBA player, especially a guy like Jaylen Brown who's already gotten that award,
yep.
Finals MVP, all that. But you look at the rest of this roster, Derek White's a good player, but I think he's sort of getting exposed into showing that he's not a true number two on a true contending team. And Peyton Pritchard was a great six man, but that's what he is. He's a good six man. And I think that when you're playing some of the elite teams in basketball, some of the good teams in the NBA, you're not going to really be able to compete with them shooting a lot of two-pointers. And I think this is a team that we've seen over the last few years thrives on shooting the three. This is a team that's built to sort of shoot beyond the arc, and that's the kind of offense they want to play. They're 6th in offensive rating so far this season. The three-point shot has been working for them this year, and that is with Derek White struggling to start the season. That's with Peyton Pritchard struggling to start the season. They're both still shooting below the league average. Like, I think this is the way. It's not the most visually appealing way, and in the years past, Ted, I've been with you. I've been pulling my hair out watching this team a lot of nights where they're just jacking up threes and taking these shots. This year, unfortunately, I hate to say it, I think this is the way that they're going to have to win games.
Even though Jaylen Brown, Peyton Pritchard, Sam Hauser, and Derek White are all shooting below their career averages from the three-point line. The guys that are leading the three-point percentage this season, Baylor Shireman, Hugo Gonzalez, Jordan Walsh, Anthony Simons, and Luka Garza, those are the best three-point shooters on the team, and they're the lowest volume shooting players on the team. I don't know.
Well, and I think what the Celtics think, and this is sort of a bigger analytic thing, is, you know, revert back to the mean, right? That Peyton Pritchard's not going to shoot this bad for the rest of the season. Derek White's not going to shoot this bad for the rest of the season. These are guys who should be shooting in the high 30s, right? When you look at their career averages and what they've done over the last few years, you're expecting them to shoot better. And I think that's what they're going to do. You look at it and say, okay, you had a really slow start. Pritchard and White have been shooting the ball better. You expect Jaylen Brown to shoot the ball better, specifically from beyond the arc. Like, I think that this is the formula that they want, and they expect those guys who aren't shooting as well as Hugo Gonzalez or some of these other guys that you mentioned, Baylor Shireman, that these are guys who are capable of hitting at a high rate.
One of my biggest reasons for pushing back is you can't count on hitting your threes every night. You can count on good defense, right? You can count on effort and pace. And if you decide that you want to attack the rim, the Celtics are dead last in free throw attempts. And they really only have one guy that can, other than, you know, JB's the only guy that really is attacking the rim. Yeah, you just feel like to depend on one thing that is just you can't count on night in, night out, I just think is a mistake by the Celtics.
And they have less guys to count on, too. Mm-hmm. So theoretically, you thought Jrue Holiday and Porzingis, like those are veterans. Al Horford, you lost three, you could say, proven. You knew what you were basically going to get over the long haul of a season.
Three starters. My God.
You don't have that anymore. So you've narrowed the window of guys that have to be the consistent three-point scorers, and then you start leaning on some other guys that might be a little more. And that's where you get. So I looked it up. We talked about it yesterday. Terps said, just be average shooting threes. And over the last 20 years, whatever it was, shoot 36%. That's the end. Well, you're at 34.7%. So you're below average shooting threes. And we're more than a quarter of the way through the season here?
But you're below average with arguably your two best three-point shooters having the worst start to their career in terms of shooting in Pritchard and White. And I think the Celtics, and again, specifically the analytics, I know we all hate that term.
Yes, we do.
The analytics say that they're going to revert back to the mean, that Pritchard's going to start shooting better, that White's going to start shooting better, that they're not going to consistently be a low 30s shooting tandem.
One of the other things they struggle, which is obviously I mentioned that they have a struggle. They struggle to get to the free throw line. And they're one of the worst rebounding teams in the NBA. The three-point shot adds to that. It's harder to get rebounds.
Well, it certainly adds to offensive rebounds, no doubt about it. But you look at this team and you say, who's going to be the one getting these rebounds? Right? And I think the rebound as a whole is sort of flawed in today's NBA. When I say flawed, I mean, you know, Nikola Jokic is far and away the best player in the NBA. And you look at some of his stats, right? The 35 points and 18 rebounds. Well, look at those 18 rebounds. If you look at each of those rebounds, how many of them are contested rebounds? How many of them are true rebounds? I think the rebound stat is a little flawed in today's NBA because, and Ted, I know the Celtics are ahead of the curve in terms of the amount of three-pointers they shoot, but everyone's shooting a ton of threes now. Most rebounds in today's NBA are sort of uncontested rebounds. And, you know, I mentioned Jokic, right? Out of those, let's say he gets 18 rebounds one night. How many of those are really contested?
Okay, let me ask you.
Two, three?
What do you think? Do you care about the free throw attempts being the worst in the NBA at getting to the free throw line? Does that bother you?
I think free throws are important, but I also look at the roster and say, who are guys who are going to be able to get to the line consistently? Who has a good enough dribble? Who's a guy who can get to the hole and make a team have to foul, right? You look at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who always leads the league in fouls drawn, right? Yep. Or James Harden over the last couple years, right? Those are guys who not just draw fouls.
D-White. The reason can get to the rim.
Sure, but those guys can draw fouls Anthony because Simons? They're such a threat at the rim, at finishing at the rim. Anthony Simons is more of a just, I'm going to huck it. He's the perfect Celtic for what I'm saying, right? Like, he just wants to chuck.
See, I think he can. I think he's more athletic than that. I think he is he has the ability to shoot
threes. Can he create it himself?
I think he can. I think Ted's right. You're going to have to lean into this. It's a little different than what you've been doing and asking people to do. Derek White's a good example. I think if you tell Derek White to hang out by the three-point line and shoot threes, he will. And if you tell him to take it to the rim, I think he could draw more fouls and get to the line.
Very skilled.
Can he do that as the number two? I think that's my biggest question because we've seen him be able to do it when he's on the floor with Tatum.
He can't shoot threes as the number two because he sucked at that so far this year.
That's a good point. Yeah. So I think you're starting to get a little exposed, but what do you trust him more as? I've seen him be a consistent shooter throughout his career when he was with San Antonio. As soon as he got here with Boston, I haven't really seen him be a consistent number two that can create his own shot, that can create shot for others.
All right, let's take the first call of the Ferzoco Friday era. Let's go to Tariq in Boston. What's up, Tariq?
What's up, fellas?
Hey.
All right, so I'm listening, and I agree, in a perfect world, you'd want them to go to the hole more to, so they can get to the line.
Yep.
So they can score easy buckets. But, and then in the same breath, someone said, well, the only guy that can do that is Jaylen Brown. Nobody else can do that. And that's the point. They're built to do, unfortunately, for the aesthetic, it's the other thing, shooting the three, shooting outside. You don't want them shooting 16, 18 footers. So it's got to be the three-pointer or get to the rim. And right now, have you watched these guys try to go to the hole? Have you watched them? Who has had a blow-by? Even Jaylen Brown's not getting a blow-by. Who's had a straight-up man-on-man and a blow-by to the rim? No one. They have to do like six screens to get a guy anywhere near the rim.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Tariq. Quick retort.
Yeah, go ahead.
Quick retort, Brian?
No, I agree. I mean, look, sort of what I was saying, right? Like, the mid-range shot is the worst shot in basketball, right? That's what the analytics
tell
you.
Except for JB.
Except for your guy, Jaylen Brown. The deep two is the way so and say, go to the rack. Go create your own shot. Go create a shot for another guy. Like, I just, and that's the issue I have. And I know you brought up Indiana a lot last year, right? As a team that doesn't shoot a lot of threes. Well, they have one of the best facilitating point guards in the league who can also get to the hole.
And they transition. They just so fast. Their pace of play is very fast. Yeah.
Brian, all right. Great job.
Great job.
Great job. We look forward to it. I think there will be some future for Zoco Fridays. Maybe we'll talk about JB, MVPs, Joe Mazzulla, his coaching style.
Kata's the MVP of
this
team.
Plenty of things to talk about on a for Zoco Friday. Nice job, Brian. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's time for The Drive. Is Joe Burrow playing? We'll talk about that. And we got to recap a little bit of our interview with Jeremy Springer. Maybe one of the more enjoyable interviews we've ever done with one of these coordinators with the Patriots. All that and more up next here on WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.